Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yo, you're listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. And during today's show, we gave out hourly winning words for our 10K a day giveaway. Hopefully you heard them and you entered. Remember to keep listening every day, every hour for your chance to hear the hour's winning word. Just remember, you have to enter before 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening. Good luck. And you get that cash. You get those bands. You get that Skrilla. You get that. Give me the loot. Give me the loot.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have your chance to win cash money in just about 10 minutes from now. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. You can watch us on ESPNU. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You heard Herm Edwards say it there, that he expects Keyshawn walks around with a suitcase full of cash. I do, too. You know you're rich and famous when I just looked up our Twitter handles because I was going to promote them here on the show. And you know you're rich and famous when your Twitter handle is just Keyshawn, because, like, you're the only Keyshawn in the universe that got the Twitter handle. Like, that would be like having, like, at Amber, you know? Just at Keyshawn. By the way, at Real J Williams, at Amber W Sports. That's how you find the rest of us as well. At Keyshawn. Rich and famous, Key. That's how you know.
Oh, God. Yeah, I wish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. More famous than rich, trust me.
Well,
I'm not in a J Will category at all whatsoever.
Lies, 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 and more lies.
I'm happy to be here, Amber.
I think both of you have done just okay for yourselves in this life. We're hoping to make it just a little bit more okay for somebody else as well. So your chance to win in that $10,000 giveaway in just about 10 minutes from now. We have been talking about the situation with the New York Jets all week, because we got the news from the head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh, that Zach Wilson is out. Mike White is in. Zach Wilson is going to be in street clothes. He's not even going to be the backup. That's going to be Joe Flacco this weekend. Here was Robert Saleh on why he's benching Zach Wilson.
His decision-making's been fine. His practice habits, all that stuff have been fine. But there's some basic fundamental things that have gotten really out of whack for him. And this is just an opportunity for him to sit back, focus on those things, find a way to get reconnect to all the different things that we fell in love with during the draft process. And it's something that I feel like he's going to be able to do.
I mean, reset. Okay, so Jay wanted me to bring this up because Jay was tuning into his own show. He was so kind to do that yesterday when me and Courtney Cronin were hosting it. And I feel like I'm the only person on planet Earth that hates this move by the New York Jets. I hate this because you just heard Robert Saleh, Jay, say that Zach Wilson needs a reset. And a reset, although apparently not with his decision-making, which is interesting because I think the rest of us might question how good the decision-making's actually been. But he needs a reset. In terms of fundamentals, Saleh goes on to say, and I'm thinking, you can't get back to fundamentals like footwork when you're in street clothes on the sidelines. That's not how you develop the 23-year-old quarterback and the second overall pick, Jay.
Yeah, I really disagree with that. Being on the field in a game is not the only place where you can work on your craft. I mean, there are reasons why some of the greatest players in the game, you know, talk about falling in love with the process of work. And for me, I feel like we've gotten to this point where it's like, you know, we have to sugarcoat everything and make everything as easy as possible for anybody that's a high draft selection. And the reality of the world that a lot of these guys are coming into, and I was one of them, is that regardless of whether you're drafted number two, there might be more incentive from the organization's perspective for you to win because they gambled on you with that second pick in the draft. Yo, but we're out here with people that want to get it each and every single day. And when you're in the middle of a playoff hunt, I want to be with guys who want to get it. So, yeah, let's take a step back for a second and prove to me and prove to your teammates that you were worth us taking the second pick of the draft on. And let your play, maybe this shakes you out of it, get to a point where you are leading these men in the locker room. I don't feel like just because somebody's drafted second overall that, well, you know, now we just have to keep playing. It doesn't work that way. And maybe this is what Zach Wilson needs. And the way he responds to this tells me everything about who Zach Wilson is going to be.
Well, he's already responded, by the way, somewhat publicly.
Agreed.
But and he responded in the right way. He said all the right things after saying the one wrong thing, which was a one-syllable answer in a press conference.
It's just that one wrong thing, Amber. It's not like – I don't like how we just always – all of a sudden now because he answered a question in the wrong manner, that's the sole reason why Robert Saleh is not starting it. I mean, his play on the field was not good. Like, okay, there's been other things that have been other than just the one answer.
I bet you any amount of money, though, if he didn't step to that podium and say those things in the postgame, he'd be the starting quarterback this week against
Chicago. Thank you, Key. That's my problem with this.
The fact that he did that with everything else.
Yes.
That was the final straw.
Yes.
It, because everything else. They had been tinkering with it, trying to look at it, see what it is, and then he did that immature move on top of many other moves that he did that was immature that we may not even know about. And so I'm with you, though, Amber. Last week, the entire time, I've always said a young quarterback, he needs to be able to play and see it and understand what he's doing wrong and try to fix it. I would have started him against the Chicago Bears, and then I would have had a quick hook because I've seen that work many times over. I've never seen a young quarterback get benched and a team is in the middle of a playoff run and you don't fracture that fragile mentality that a young quarterback has. By now, all of a sudden, you're yo-yoing him. You're playing around. He's in, he's out. He's in, he's out. What if Mike White goes out there and he's 19 of 23, 330 and three touchdowns and no turnovers and they wreck shop on Chicago. Okay, so now what do you do?
We got a quarterback. Well, you're,
now, he's, Robert he's Saleh going, left it open.
Right. He left it open indefinitely.
He never said that this kid would get his job back.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Next week you look at it, and he goes out there and does the same thing and wins.
Imagine what kind of effect does benching your quarterback have if you tell the world that, yeah, he'll be back next week. Like, so what if it seems indefinite? It doesn't mean that it is indefinite. And actually, I want my quarterback to feel
I'm
like
just
maybe it
saying,
is.
Jay,
I just don't know.
This kid had a good game against Cincinnati last year. Then he had a bad game. Threw four interceptions or five interceptions or whatever. He's completing about 67, 68% of his passes. His touchdown interception rate is pretty high. I mean, five touchdowns and eight interceptions, I think, is what it is. So when you look at Mike White, and we're not in the building, but he is a better quarterback from the people that I have talked to that's in that building that sees it every single day. They told me this way back in the springtime, if you remember, that Mike White was a better quarterback than Zach Wilson, but the only reason why Zach Wilson is getting the nod is because he is the number two pick in the draft. Now, if this is true with a better team this year than last year, Amber, and if he goes on a run, they just open themselves up for a whole bunch of you-know-what.
Well, and they're opening themselves up against a very bad Chicago Bears defense. So I feel like we're not really going to know after this game because Mike White should look really good. I mean, if Mike White goes out there and looks terrible against that defense, then fine. Then there's no conversation. But it's entirely plausible here, Key, that Mike White goes out and looks great. And then you have a real problem on your hands moving forward because are you going to stick with Mike White and then further hamper the development of Zach Wilson?
You said you hadn't
seen it before with this benching the quarterback while you're trying to make a playoff run. You actually have. And this is my whole problem with the situation because Brian Flores did it when he was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins and he benches Tua and he goes back to Ryan Fitzpatrick because the Dolphins all of a sudden found themselves in the surprising position like the Jets are of trying to actually make a postseason when nobody had expected them to coming into that season and they thought Fitzpatrick gave them the better opportunity to do that.
Amber,
what was the point of that? Because all that did was hamper that year with Tua, okay? You're crushing Tua's confidence. It has taken us until our third year to find out that Tua is good. And you're still doubting him to this day, Keith.
What was the point of any of this?
Amber, did he bench him or did he take him out of a game?
No, he benched him. But I will say this, by the way, he benched him. But I will say this also is if Robert Saleh truly believes Zach just doesn't have it right now. Like, he needs to reset because of, you know, footwork or fundamentals or, you know, overthrowing a target in the flat. If he thinks that he needs a reset there, why didn't he take Zach Wilson out of the game? Why didn't he make that decision in a game against a divisional opponent that was a must-win game for this Jets team? If he thinks Zach or Mike White is the better quarterback, why wouldn't he have benched Zach Wilson during that game to beat the Patriots?
But, Amber, you keep going back to, and this is what I was trying to get in with you yesterday, you keep going back to the Brian Flores situation. That situation seems so different to me. Like,
I didn't know that he benched him, though. I thought he benched him out.
Robert Saleh has always seemed like to me like he's had the back of Zach Wilson, whereas, like, knowing that Brian Flores, like, Tua really wasn't his first decision. Like, that really wasn't what he wanted. So, like, the two situations seem very different to me, don't they?
Well, it does seem like Brian Flores was never in on Tua, right? I mean, they were flirting with Tom Brady. They were flirting with Deshaun Watson. Going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick. It does feel a little bit like that was maybe a big problem there. And maybe it had something to do with why Brian Flores isn't there anymore as the head coach. So I understand what you're saying. But this situation is the situation that Robert Saleh has, where he's saying the right things with his number two. But Key's hearing that Mike White's the better guy. And so that kind of comes on Robert Saleh, because you've got to win games if you're Robert Saleh, right? You are in the midst of what could be a postseason run.
Yeah, but
so if Saleh is not rocking with the better quarterback, then Saleh deserves a lot of criticism, is I guess my point, Key. Like, it feels like Saleh's getting a pass here. And his game plan against the Patriots in a windy game was terrible.
Well, it's not – he's not getting a pass, but you got to remember he's the number two pick in a New York City market, Amber. And it's all about the big money. And in fact, speaking of big money, don't we have some?
Yes, speaking of money, honey, it is time for this hour's winning word for the KJM $10,000 a day giveaway. This is why you're a pro's pro, Keyshawn Johnson. When you hear the winning word, text the word to 777-000 and you're entered for your chance to win. We'll do it every weekday from now until the end of the show on December 7th. No purchase necessary. Ends December 7th. See complete official rules, ESPNradio.com/contest. Money!
And Max 10K giveaway.
The winning word for this hour is Apple. Like how apple pie is overrated. Apple. APPLE. Text it right now. 777-000. I said what I said.
Nope. Cannot co-sign that.
It's got to be right.
Cannot co-sign that.
Nope. Said what I said.
Vanilla ice cream on top. Hot apple pie. Nope.
Well,
can't do it.
I said what I said.
Jay, it's got to be right, though.
Yeah, I agree.
I done had some weak-ass apple pies in my life.
Well, I've had horrible pies, too, Key, but, like, you can't say apple.
No, but it's not overrated.
We're building.
Outside of key lime pie, pies generally a little overrated. But let's go ahead,
Amber,
and get Lorenzo Alexander.
Oh, my God. Have you ever had sweet potato pie, Amber?
Sweet potato pie. Yes, I believe I have.
See,
yes.
No, see, Key, she ain't have real sweet potato pie.
She had to think about it. She had to think about it too much. That's not real. No.
I had somebody yesterday. Mm-mm. Oh, well, whatever. Lorenzo's probably doing.
Yeah, let's bring in Lorenzo Alexander on this conversation. Former Bills linebacker joining us. Lorenzo, is apple pie overrated?
Amber, you have shenanigans going on this morning. I almost hung up. If it wasn't for Jay, Will, and Key, and I know them, I would have hung up right now with your comment about apple pie.
Come on, Lorenzo.
It's my favorite of all time. I mean, apple pie, great ice cream on the side. I mean, I love it.
Oh, man.
Appreciate these people, Lorenzo.
Y'all don't know. All right. Well, let's see if your football takes, Lorenzo, are a little bit better than your pie takes. What are your thoughts on the Bills beating the Lions yesterday? Are the Bills legit here, Lorenzo?
Man, I think the Bills are legit. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at any team, there is a arc to a season, right? And obviously they came out of the gates hot. They've kind of tapered off because they actually had several injuries that they've had to overcome. When you think about Jordan Poyer being out at one point, Micah being out for the entire season, Tremaine not playing, Greg Russo being down. Now Von Miller is hurt. I mean, the offensive line yesterday was beat up a little bit, and they still found a way to win games. And what are they, 8-3 right now, sitting at the top of the division. I know it's a lot more competitive with Miami and obviously the Jets, who's going to come back to earth here. But I think they are contenders. I mean, you're going to face adversity, and how do you – it's always about how do you stay together through that adversity. I know the quarterback in Josh Allen has had the UCL injury. And I think as they get deeper and that gets more healthier, obviously they'll get back to what they look like efficiency-wise on offense. So I think they're good. They just got to step up on defense a little bit more and figure out that pass rush. But I think getting Von healthy, Greg healthy, is going to be significant to that run.
Low Daddy, do you think the Bills have what it take, though? Do they need home field advantage, or can they go on the road and take care of business and get to the Super Bowl? Do they need home field advantage throughout?
I you know, and I'm biased to this, right? Because I was part of the beginning, you know, Josh, Sean, and them. And so I know what Sean preaches. I know what this team at the heart. A lot of these guys I played with, and so I know what they're made of. I've seen them go into Kansas City and win, obviously, wasn't in the playoffs. They've had the heartache, though. You know, they've had the progression of losing a first-round playoff game and coming back and losing in an AFC championship game, losing again, heartbreak at the end. And hopefully that's the – I know that's not what Buffalo wants to be known for, obviously, when you couple that with the four Super Bowls. But this team has the ability and the mental focus to go anywhere, play anybody, and win multiple ways. I know people don't think they run the ball well, but every time I'm looking up, I see Singletary doing his thing. Hines is coming on here soon as well. And so I think this team can win multiple ways and do it different ways and get over the hump. Obviously, they just got to go out there and prove it, which is really hard when you look up and you see Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes doing what they're doing week in and week out, and how do you stop that monster? And so that's what it's going to come down to. Who's going to make more plays? Who's going to stand up and have that big PBU or interception or big sack on defense to really slow down the Kansas City Chiefs when they see those guys in the playoffs?
Lorenzo Alexander, former Bills, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Lorenzo, I got to ask you about Von Miller going down the other day, and we're going to see what the optics are around that knee injury probably today or tomorrow. But in response to that, OBJ tweeted out during the game yesterday, "Yo, get rid of turf."
Yeah.
Where are you on this whole narrative that is really gaining momentum about no more turf fields in the NFL, all grass fields?
Yeah, I mean, I hate turf. I mean, obviously the condition of the field is easier manageable, and you can get a consistency from week to week, and owners can do multiple things as far as, you know, bring that out, have a stage as far as money and all that. But from a player's perspective, especially the older you get in this league, I mean, playing on turf is like just sitting down and let somebody take some bats to you, your ankles and your knees repetitively, because you feel like trash after the game is over. It feels great. You're out there fast and moving around, but it's just – it's so unforgiving, and I actually hurt my right foot. I tore my Liz Frank on turf in the Saints in their old turf field. And so I'm probably biased in that regard, too, that they need to figure out a better way. Obviously, grass is much better. Obviously, it's going to cost a lot of people money to switch it out and do some different things, because everybody doesn't have the luxury like a Arizona or a couple other fields, I know, roll out Vegas, right, having the space around them, especially if your stadium's in the middle of downtown, to be able to roll it out, let it get the sun it needs, especially if you live up north, northeast with, you know, all the snow and rain in the winter seasons.
Lorenzo, when you look at the Buffalo Bills, clearly you believe that they're probably going to win the AFC East, and I've all of a sudden become a villain on this show because I wasn't a believer in the team down south in South Florida at the beginning of the season. And Jay Will has put out this narrative that I don't like the quarterback, and he's continuing to
drive it home. No, it's the internet, Key. The internet has receipts on everything you said.
Amber has fallen into that trap as well. But what I want to do is ask you, as Jay tries to get in here, I want to ask you, do you think that the Dolphins have the makeup to go on the road in Kansas City, in Buffalo, with snow and snowballs being thrown and frozen batteries being thrown at them,
go into
Cincinnati, or any of these teams with cold weather, to succeed and make a strong run in the playoffs?
I think they have the capacity to do it, but me and you know, and Jay, you know this too, once you get to the playoffs, man, everybody get a little bit tighter.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, I mean, you make a mistake, man, we might be going home. We might not have a game next week. And how do you respond in that? And obviously they have guys on that team that have won. Obviously Tyreek Hill has won a championship. But what does that look like collectively? And in my field, the same way with Buffalo a couple of years ago, is I don't know if they quite was ready for the mental makeup of it, because it's different. And guys always say this, and this is because us as players, if you've never been there, you put extra on it, and the game speeds up for whatever reason. It gets faster. Things happen. You can barely remember what happened, you know, last series, because you haven't been able to be there. Just like going from preseason for a young rookie to a regular season game, things just seem to be moving faster because it's just more meaning to it. Guys are playing harder. The stakes are higher. Do they have the capacity to do it with their offense and the defense the way they've played during the season? Of course, yeah. We've seen the way they've played football this year at a high level. But I don't know, because they lack that experience, what they look like. And I will never, you know, bet on a team that's never been there. There's a couple of teams once in a while that'll make a run. Like, man, how did they do that? They just didn't know what they didn't know. But most teams, you know, historically don't do that.
My problem with it, though, Low, is the weather. Going to those cold weather. Going to Buffalo. Man, that thing.
That matters. That does matter. Being in Miami, I mean, I remember playing Oakland one year. It was 40 degrees in Buffalo, and they was like, man, well, how do y'all play here? I was like, oh, we won this game, right? But in my mind, if it's the playoffs at stake, and I guess I may be thinking a little different, man, I don't care how cold it is. I'm about to go up here. We know it's going to be cold, right? It's not like you just jump off the plane and you didn't know it was going to be 15 degrees in Buffalo and snowing, right?
Yeah.
And so it's all about your mindset when you go into it. You can't prepare for that anyway. I used to be cold in Buffalo when I played, and I lived in Buffalo. It's cold. Cold is cold. I mean, it just doesn't matter, you know. So it's all about how you approach it from a mental standpoint, and how does your coach prepare you to say, hey, you know, like some coaches back in the day, D-line, hey, man, you're not wearing no sleeves, right? Because they wanted you to focus mentally on the game. But I used to, man, let me just put my sleeves on. Let me be warm so I can focus, right? I don't want to fight two enemies. So just go up there, whatever you need to do, you know, whether that's put heat warmers in your cleats, in your gloves, the long sleeves, the Vaseline with the icy hot in it, whatever you got to do to stay warm, that's what you got to do to be able to focus as much as you can. Because when you're out on the field, you ain't thinking about Cole. You're thinking about, hey, let me how I'm going to beat this dude. I'm going to dominate. I'm going to get to this quarterback. Exactly. I'm going to pick this ball off. I'm going to catch it. When you're on the sideline, that's the issue, because now you're just kind of just sitting in there. You don't have nothing to focus on. And so that's where you got to really, if you're a warm weather team, really figure out ways to maintain that warmth so when you get back on the field, you're ready to go.
Zo, remember when I told you that the internet has receipts? So I'm just laughing up here about Key, right? And Amber, this is for you too. So, you know, last year, the internet has receipts, Key. I just want to pose something for Zo to hear.
Yeah.
So last year, there was a little debate that Key and I had on First Take, because I was mad at Brian Flores for benching Tua early in the season. And I was like, it's the wrong move. And Key was like, no, it's the right move. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy, right? So Key goes on that whole tear. Okay. Yeah. And then this year we get into it. And now, you know, I'm talking about Zach Wilson, it being, you know, like the I think it's the right move for considering things have been done. And Key's like, right. No, you don't do that to the quarterback because he's fragile. And I'm telling you, you're going to lose him. So it's like, once again, like, see, he'll build cases for other people. But then when it comes to Tua, they're like, you know, and Jay. Hold on, Key. Wait, so what did Tua do? Tua right. battled back, and now he's in the MVP conversation. I just don't think Key likes
hey,
it.
Hey, but look, check
That's
this
where it
out,
comes
though.
From.
Jay, he got a brand new coach and a brand new system, man. What are you talking about?
And a shiny new receiver as well, in fairness to Key. Robert Saleh's the problem?
Man, stop,
Robert Saleh's the problem, Key?
Hey, nice try. Didn't work.
So, what do you think about Zach Wilson being benched? Do you think that's the right move? Do you think it's the wrong move?
It's definitely the right move.
Thank you.
I'm not worried about his fragility. He needs to grow up. I mean, if that breaks him, he said that.
Thank you.
So take accountability for it. And as a defender, right, I'm in that locker room. I just locked the team down for 3 points. And we know the special teams, they're part of the defense. They gave up that touchdown. But for you to get up there and say, yeah, nah, we good. I'm good. We just did was great, pretty much, in so many words, right, saying no to the question that was asked, that can lead to having a divisive locker room. And you have a young man that doesn't understand the weight of his position and his role as a quarterback and what that means. Now, obviously, since then, they've had conversations. He's come out and apologized. But there has to be, you know, consequences for that. And you have to learn from it. Now, I don't care if it's your first-round quarterback or not. And I think sometimes it's when you get in trouble as a coach. How do I need to handle this situation regardless if he's your first-round quarterback, right? What is the best for him? And that's what they came to an agreement with. Because sometimes that can also break a team apart. Why are you treating him different than this other guy over here? Which I understand happens, but you still, for what he did, I think it deserves to be sat down and give somebody else an opportunity, because maybe he doesn't understand how to prepare well. Maybe he doesn't understand what it means to put your offense and your team in the right position. And sometimes you got to watch that from the sideline and say, oh, that's what it means. Oh, I don't like this feeling either. Oh, maybe I need to make a switch in what I need to do. And sometimes just kind of, you know, let's kind of grow him into that isn't enough. Sometimes guys got to face some real adversity. Like, ooh, man, I don't like sitting on the bench not playing, to really make that shift and change in how they prepare and what it looks like to be a leader, and how do you stand up in doing that?
Well, Mike White's now going to get that opportunity against the Chicago Bears. Lorenzo Alexander, former Bills linebacker, real men wear sleeves in Buffalo, New York. That's what we learned. Lorenzo, thanks so much for joining us.
And we appreciate you guys. Apple pie, Zoe.
Always.
Tell her.
Yep. Apple.
Tell her.
Yep,
still
all
overrated.
That.
I'm not changing my position on that.
What?
Coming up next, can USC beat Notre Dame? We'll find out what Keyshawn Johnson thinks. I'm sure he'll be very objective. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, presented to you by Progressive Insurance. We roll along next.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Tune in for a college football doubleheader tomorrow as Oregon State hosts Oregon, followed by Notre Dame at USC, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Let's talk about that matchup. For that, we bring in Tim Brown, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Heisman Trophy winner at Notre Dame, joining us now. And Tim, thanks so much for joining us. How are you feeling about Notre Dame as you head into this matchup here against USC?
Scared. He's still scared.
Well, I guess the words are cautiously optimistic, right? You know, I think, you know, we played well enough on offense, special offensive line. You know, I think we may be able to handle, you know, their defense a little bit, but man, their offense versus our defense, I don't know if any defense in America is ready for that at this particular point. So that's going to be, you know, the whole deal. If our guys can some kind of way slow these guys down and not get into a track meet, I think we may have a shot.
If my memory serves me correct, Timmy, you guys came into the Coliseum your senior year, and I believe you were underdogs, but a big punt return by you lifted them. What did that moment feel like up against SC in the Coliseum in that situation at that moment in time?
Yeah, that was actually my junior year, and we came to that game 4-6, man. We obviously wasn't going to a bowl game, and SC was pretty highly ranked, I believe, at that time. We got down, I think, 37-22 or something like that, you know. And early in the fourth quarter, we were able to come back. That big punt return, you know, set us up for like a 20-yard field goal to win the game. And really, I think that was, you know, the impetus, obviously, to me winning the Heisman next year. And, you know, we went 8-3, and then the next year they won a national championship. So that game is a game that we looked at, you know, saying, hey, look, if we can come back from, you know, beat SC on the road 20 points down, we certainly can win these football games if we put our minds to it. So I think it just worked out for us.
Tim Brown, Pro Football Hall of Famer, 1987 Heisman Trophy winner at Notre Dame, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Tim, have you spent any time thinking about how great it might feel if Notre Dame knocks USC out of the playoff race? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, brother, look, man, you know, I mean, you know, the calls hadn't started yet with Marcus and Rodney and Ronnie and all these guys, but they're going to start pretty soon today, I believe. And, if not today, certainly tomorrow. Look, my daughter went to LMU and happened to fall in love with a brother who went to USC. So I'm dealing with this thing from a very up close and personal, you know, standpoint now. But look, man, that's the dream always, right? You know, this Notre Dame team has played well enough. You know, I think people have to respect them that they could come in and do this. You know, it's going to be extremely tough because, I mean, SC has, you know, three or four receivers out there, man. They're pretty much, you know, uncoverable at this particular point. And the way Caleb is playing, you know, he could be on his way to New York in a couple of weeks if he keeps playing the way he's playing.
Tim Brown, former Raider, Notre Dame wide receiver, Pro Football Hall of Famer, 1987 Heisman Trophy winner, 9-time Pro Bowler, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Tim, you got a young head coach in Marcus Freeman. Got off to a rocky start last year in the bowl game when he took over for Brian Kelly, and then kind of got off to a rocky start again this year, losing to Marshall. How do you think things have gone so far since they've been able to turn things around with him?
No, I think it's going well, man. I really think they've, you know, sort of righted the ship a little bit. I mean, obviously the Stanford loss at home was a disappointment after the Marshall loss, which was, you know, obviously embarrassing to everybody who calls himself a Notre Dame fan. You know, at the same time, you know, to see this team fight back and, you know, go on the road and beat North Carolina and, you know, go on the road and beat Syracuse and, you know, and teams who were ranked at the time and BYU. You know, I think, you know, they can at least hold their heads up saying, you know, we've had a pretty good season. This would obviously culminate a very good comeback and put them in a, you know, pretty good bowl game. And, you know, they can build from there. So Marcus, man, I tell you what, man, I used to mess with Eddie George about, you know, Ohio State players and that kind of stuff. But this brother here, man, has made me change my mind about that because this guy is on point, man. He's trying to do things the right way. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he can get these guys playing well tomorrow night and win this game and keep everything going for him.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Tim Brown joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Amber Wilson filling in today for Max. You heard Key just mention your time with the Raiders. So, Mr. Raider, let's ask you this. How surprised are you by the Raiders' struggles this season?
On one hand, I'm very surprised because, you know, they played so well at the end of last year. That you think that they can come into this year, just build off of that. But on the other hand, I'm not surprised because anytime you get a new head coach in, you got a new system in, it takes time for the quarterback and offense to get on the same page. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you have to, you know, that you have to deal with. You know, I'm a little surprised that they changed so much, you know, after playing so well at the end of last year, but you know, look, these head coaches, man, they're like players. You know, we have one way to play and they have one way to coach. And, you know, and I think they're building for the future and hopefully, you know, they can finish up strong this year and do something next year. But one thing for sure, you know, this thing is going to have to get righted pretty quickly. You know, they got a big win last week and, you know, if they can win in Seattle this weekend, it would be pretty good for them.
Tim, I know you bleed silver and black. All right, but I'm going to ask you this question. Why move on from Rich Bisaccia and go to Josh McDaniel, who failed in Denver when Rich Bisaccia kind of just took things over, got through all of the tragedies, all the different things that went on with the Raiders a year ago and got them into the playoffs, a throw away from advancing to the divisional round? Why move on from Rich Bisaccia?
Well, Key, I wish I had that answer, man, because, you know, I wasn't trying to be very forward about it, but at the same time, I was certainly intimating on social media that, hey, look, you know, I mean, when you have a team playing as hard as this team is playing for a coach, and they're talking about how much they love this guy and everything is going so well, maybe you should keep things the same, you know what I mean? And give him another year. Let's see what happens. If he doesn't, you know, it's another year. It's not 10 years that you have to lock him into. But, you know, look, I don't obviously have any voice in the Raiders organization. And, you know, you try and support whatever they bring to the table. But, yeah, I feel sorry for the guys. I feel bad for the guys because I think everybody thought it was time to go on a run, a couple, 2 or 3, 4 year run here. But, obviously, that is not the case right now, and hopefully, you know, again, they can finish strong this year and build for something next year.
I know that Mark Davis kind of gave Josh McDaniels a little bit of a vote of confidence, if you want to call it. Do you think that Josh McDaniels will be back next year?
Oh yeah, he'll definitely be back. You know, I think you heard Mark make the comment something like, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day or something like that. I don't think they're in any hurry. And, you know, I think if they would announce that to Raider Nation in the summer, then maybe Raider Nation wouldn't be, you know, going topsy-turvy right now. But, you know, but I think at the same time, man, you know, you have to finish strong, man. You can't go into the off season, you know, whimpering, brother, because that doesn't make for a lot of confidence around the building during the off season.
Hall of Famer and Heisman Trophy winner, Tim Brown, joining us. Thanks so much, Tim,
man,
for stopping
playing
by.
That song,
good luck, Tim.
Yeah, play it. Keep playing
done,
it for Tim. Keyshawn. He needs to hear that today.
Get her done, Tim. Bring her home.
Thanks, guys.
You really want to be – there you go.
There you go. They're placating to Key now. There you go. Although all that's going to end because coming up next – can Keyshawn Johnson actually cook? Video evidence may suggest otherwise. You're going to want to watch us next on ESPNU.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
I really want to.
Coming down the stretch here on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. Amber Wilson filling in for Max.
Lotion
today.
On your ashy ankles, Jay? Oh, that's for your lips.
LL Cool J. That's what, Amber, that's what Key usually does when the R&B music comes on. He starts putting on a chapstick. Starts giving you the deep brown eyes. You know what I mean? Like, hey.
He be squinting. His voice.
Don't fall into their traps.
Keyshawn
don't
Johnson
do that. Don't listen. Don't listen to him.
Keyshawn Johnson. Kiss After Dark here.
We're here trying to talk to you guys so about sports and jets.
Try to soften up my lips and they be playing just so R&B at the same
the timing,
time.
Amber,
it just so
the
happens
timing.
That I do this every single time. Welcome back into ESPN Radio. I am Keyshawn Johnson with The Place to Be.
That was dead on, actually. Bunch of lanes. Just like him. Speaking of Keyshawn Johnson, there are some questions about whether Keyshawn Johnson can cook. Before we get to that, what? I just want to remind you, if you want to win some money, and we all want to win money because we all like money, even Keyshawn, who has so much of it, he doesn't know what to do with
God,
it.
Oh, God, stop.
Text the word apple to 777-000. That is the word this hour, apple. 777-000, like as in apple pie, kind of overrated. But we're not going to get back into that right this second. What we are going to get into is Keyshawn Johnson's Thanksgiving, because I have heard from our producer, Pat Costello, that it was more like a fishgiving, Keyshawn Johnson.
Oh, that's cool. I ain't going to let y'all do that to my man.
What? I'm not even going to. I'm going to just act like I'm not even on the show.
No, nah, Key, don't
first
do that.
Of all, first of all, you showing a bad video and trying to make it seem like that turkey is dry.
You sent
show
it
the
you.
Real video with the spread, man.
No, don't that
show,
is the video, the, though. It's no, on that's ESPN the real video you right if you there, want to watch Amber. Us right now.
Yeah, so that's now the real spread.
Wait, hold on. You have pasta? You have like it looks, this looks like
everything.
An Italian meal.
Mac and cheese. We got green beans. We got roasted cauliflower.
Come on, Amber. We out here. We multi-hyphenate out here, Amber.
Yeah, we got the salmon with the salmon with the spinach salmon. Underneath. We got the tri-tip. We got crab cakes. We got turkey. We got it all. We got everything. Okay.
Salmon on Thanksgiving all. Cannot be a popular move.
Man, it's everything. Well, you don't even
salmon
understand.
On Thanksgiving too.
You don't
Do
even
you?
Understand.
That's, yeah,
we that's had like
that's
a
that's crab cake.
It was one of the foods. We had turkey. We had ham.
Yeah, y'all.
Is that because
we got
like
mashes.
Some people?
That's
is
that mashed potatoes. Come on now.
Is that because some people don't eat turkey?
Yeah,
so like
yes.
You're giving
yeah,
them.
Why not?
Absolutely.
This is because y'all are both entertaining way too many people. Like this is
so
too
dry.
Many people.
It's not dry. Fool is a pitcher.
Keyshawn is serving 30 people at Thanksgiving. I don't even like 30 people, y'all.
It's so dry.
It's so stupid.
Do you want some water? For
no, Amber. But Amber, okay. We tend to.
Gather
who's
yourself.
Us. We tend to do a big spread. We might even fry some chicken. I just didn't feel like frying no chicken.
Nothing wrong
you know?
With that.
I just didn't feel like doing chicken. It.
I had the take yesterday that I actually think turkey a little overrated. Because the only time of year you eat it is Thanksgiving. Like, we're not all out here roasting
Amber.
Turkeys on the reg, right? Like, it ain't like, hey, it's Wednesday in the summer and we're all out here roasting turkeys. I feel like that's all the evidence I need.
See,
that
my mom,
turkey
though, Amber?
Is kind of overrated. So I would welcome the addition of fried chicken or brisket or
Amber.
Something else.
Yeah, we have brisket. But Amber, my mom, when my mom was living, mm-hmm. she might just do a turkey on a normal day. She might just decide to go and do
really?
A turkey. Yeah. Absolutely, 100%.
I don't feel like that's most.
And she's gonna break
Jack.
It all the way down after we eat it. She's gonna break it down, and it's gonna last us at least 3-4 days. That's just
Amber. You've been doing such a phenomenal job the last 2 days hosting this show, but I don't think we can have you back. I mean, I am this no turkey and no apple pie. I just you're losing me.
I mean, no apple pie. I didn't even try. Like, there was apple pie yesterday at the Thanksgiving I was at. I didn't even go for it. I had a little bit of the key lime pie. I'll mess with some pecan pie. But apple pie, no.
Pumpkin
no
pie
sweet
or
potato,
sweet potato
pie.
Pumpkin pie is just okay to me. It's all right.
Sweet potato pie?
I'm not, honestly, I'm not even going to lie. I don't think I'm very well versed in sweet potato pie.
Oh,
like,
see?
I've had sweet potato casserole, but that's not the same thing, you right? Like, with the marshmallows on top.
No.
I don't think
no,
I know
no,
about
no, I got to go. I have to leave now.
See? I don't think I know
don't
about sweet
potato don't ever come
pie.
To my Cultural. House with Cultural. No marshmallows on top
marshmallows
or no yams.
On the sweet potato. Come on.
Amber.
I don't think I'm well versed in sweet potato pie or candied yams. I feel like those are two things that I've been missing out on, apparently.
See, we got to get you to an actual Thanksgiving. Like, did you see the Mac? You saw Key's Mac?
Uh-huh. What do you
need to see it again? You want to see
hold
the
on,
Mac
Yates.
Again?
Yates.
You never seen the Mac again, man. Y'all don't hate.
Yates, what do you mean by actual Thanksgiving?
Like a
real Thanksgiving.
A real one with sweet potato pie.
You see that ham right there?
Come to my
house. You see them yams? That's a little veggies for you. That's the Mac right there.
Collard greens.
That macaroni and cheese does look excellent. I will give it to you.
Fire.
Is it any left, Key?
Is that the Cajun stuffing, Key?
No, it's gone, man.
Is that the Cajun stuffing?
Yeah, well, no, it was on the backside. I think we passed it up already.
Yeah.
See, Cajun stuffing, like, I don't need you to get fancy with your stuffing. Like, just give me some stuffing. Like, we don't need to put Cajun seasoning in the stuffing.
Man,
Stuffing's good on a turkey.
In your life, Amber? Maybe
listen,
you need some spice in your
stop
life.
Stop being so fancy. It's like cranberry sauce. Don't make me homemade cranberry sauce.
I don't have homemade, Amber.
Jelly stuff out of the can. Let's go.
I'm Ocean Spray out the can slice.
There you go. Okay, Keith, I knew I liked you.
This is what we do. We put spice in everything. We put a little splash of something in everything.
Yeah, but you can have in stuffing, you can have spice. It just doesn't need to be like some fancy, Cajun cornbread,
that. It's just a Cajun cornbread stuffing. That's all.
It's Cajun.
Nothing wrong with the stovetop out of the box stuffing. There ain't nothing wrong.
We ain't going to be doing no. See, that's, Amber.
I won't
be coming to your house.
Real Thanksgiving.
Frozen greens and stuff. I can't come to your
house. You won't be coming to my house because I ain't cooking. I got to be honest with you. Like, my late mother, she was fired with all of her Thanksgivings. After we lost her, I discovered the benefit of crashing other people's Thanksgivings or going out to eat for Thanksgiving. I have done that. That's actually an underrated move. The last couple years, I was out to eat for Thanksgiving.
So you've been to Friendsgivings and they haven't had sweet potato pie at the ready?
No, I was at one yesterday. I was at a friend's house crashing her Thanksgiving. She had chocolate cake, key lime pie, pecan pie, pumpkin pie.
No sweet potato pie.
No sweet potato pie.
Have you ever had real banana pudding?
What was the diversity percentage?
Amber?
Pudding, though? Who was it? Was it Yates or Pat who brought a banana pudding yesterday? Banana pudding? No.
No, not. I'm talking about with vanilla wafers and real bananas.
That
sounds horrendous.
Key, this answers it all. What part of town did you go to for the Thanksgiving, the Friendsgiving? Where were we?
I think you know where I was. There was no sweet potato pie, Jay. Like, let's
Boca Raton. He was in Boca.
We all know what you were doing there. This has been Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max.
Fort Lauderdale, Boca.
Radio. Amber Wilson filling in for Max. It has been fun.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.